Let's do it.
If
I'll
I
count
could,
it down. Wait, wait. Who? What? India. You learned
India.
What India?
Anyone know
we're
counting.
We're trying to count down in different languages.
Don't ask
to
me.
To start. What? No, well, there's like 80 there, so yeah. You really have your option.
Well, tell you, if you let us know beforehand, I'll learn.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good point.
So today it's English.
It's anything. All right.
Ready?
Most of India.
Great.
Yeah, they speak it there. So 5, 4, 3, 2.
Where you been and where you going? This is Ari's travel show, yeah. We're gonna talk about travel today. It's You Be Trippin', yeah.
Welcome to You Be Trippin'. It's a travel podcast, the only podcast made with 100% non-GMOs. Today... On the episode, every episode I go to with a friend or someone cool and we could tell us about a different place in the world. It's pretty simple setup.
Simple.
Yeah. Today is my literal oldest friend in comedy. Duncan Trussell hired me at the Comedy Store, trained me on the phones. Yeah. The fucking weirdest of weirds.
I mean, technically I didn't hire you.
You didn't hire me. You trained me.
We were both phone guys.
Yeah. You trained me on the phones.
Yeah.
How to properly avoid when Mitzi calls.
Yes.
How to drop any other call if Mitzi's line rings.
That was the whole game.
You could be on the phone with the customer like, I think I want to come. Like, bye. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did it take you so long to fucking answer?
It was one ring.
Yeah.
I was doing your work.
Stay on top of it.
How many times did you get fired by her?
I never got fired.
Oh, wow.
I came close a few times, but she never fired me.
Probably like 5 times.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. What a weirdo lady. What a wild lady. Anyway, when I met Duncan, he was, we were both actually on a new trip to LA, actually.
Yeah.
You would, I figured out I have a theory about LA. You go for two reasons, running towards a woman or away from one.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think you were running away from one.
I wasn't running away from one.
Bad breakup, I thought.
No.
Really?
No. I just like, I graduated college.
Yeah.
I figured I would like go to graduate school, but I wanted to spend a year living in a cool city.
It was so cool. We got to get to this travel part, but I just remember us like on the streets late at night and just like the world was possible.
Yeah.
Just poor young comics and anything was possible.
Completely free.
You were dancing around a light pole going like, Hollywood, just making fun of the whole thing, and it was like we're having a fucking blast. All right, but where are we going today? What are you going to tell me about today?
Well, I mean, I guess the most exotic place I've ever been is this city in India called Varanasi.
Varanasi, India,
south of New Delhi.
Interesting. Okay. Damn, you already looked it up. Fucking nice. Wow.
Oh yeah. Well,
on the water.
Well, yeah, it's so this is one of the oldest inhabited cities on planet Earth, supposedly like all the way back to like 300 BC. People have been living in this area. It sits on the Ganges River, and it's known for its ghats, and that's the steps that go down into the Ganges River.
Uh-huh.
So people will go and bathe and wash their clothes in the water. And then because this is like, the sacred city of dying. It's considered really auspicious to be cremated there. So a couple of the ghats are known as burning ghats. Like one of them's called Manakarnika.
Wait, what's a ghat? A step?
Steps.
Okay.
It's just like a connection point to the Ganges River.
A burning step, yeah.
So they cremate bodies right there above the steps. And so then they're cremating all day, all night.
You saw that?
Yes, I saw that.
What did it smell like?
Barbecue.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah, the city smells like barbecue.
Wow.
Like, right after I left India, I know. It really changes your relationship with barbecue for like a year. I left India, went to visit my brother. We went to Six Flags, which is a mind fuck after being in India. Like being in Six Flags really is like your brain just doesn't understand what's happening. And I'm like, oh my God, smells like I'm back in Varanasi. And it was because I was standing next to a place where they're grilling burgers.
It's just flesh.
Yeah, it's burning flesh.
Ugh.
All day long.
Ugh. They don't eat meat there.
What?
They don't eat meat there.
No, you can get meat there. Ugh. I think you can get eat. You can
That's
get
just meat. Burning bodies?
That's burning bodies.
Dark. Look at that guy covering his face on one.
Yeah, he's yeah.
Just get fucking lashes in your eyes.
Oh, he's probably crying. That's probably his dad.
Oh, yeah, good point.
You monster. You fucking monster.
He's not just wandering by.
You know, there's a thing people have. It's called feelings.
They have them there? I heard they were invented in India with feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
How old were you went there? Why'd you go?
Well, so I'd taken a class called Introduction to Southeast Asia in liberal arts school.
Yeah.
Best professor ever.
Wow.
The first class we took with him, and he was dead serious. He's like, why are you here? Why are you in college? You're going to get nothing out of this. You're going to go into debt. Just drop out now and travel. Just trust me. It's so much better if you just...
Who is this guy?
His name was Bill Mosier, and he was amazing. And he's like, just go. It's liberal arts school, so we're all sitting under a tree. Like, I'm falling in love with him. A lot of the students, uptight students, are like looking at each other like, this is bullshit. I always think about that because he was totally right.
He's
like, just, you're going to be in debt. If you really want to learn about life and understand life, you need to travel. That's all you should be doing now. And
he's right. Telling an 18-year-old, what are you doing getting your life started?
Yeah, why
here?
Are you doing this? He would say, go to India. And everybody would be like, how? We don't have any money. I can't. And he's like, you could find the money. Just go to India. If you have to ask your parents for money, ask your parents, save up some money. Just get out of here and go to India. The thing that stuck in my head is he goes, you know, when you're accelerating down the highway and or down the road and telephone poles, they start going faster and faster and faster. He goes, that's going to be years. And soon your life will be gone.
Whoa.
So drop out of college and just travel. It was so cool. I mean, this was way before the fashionable, like, I don't know what it's called, the new kind of work where you have this like badass Airstream and you work in it and stuff. It was
digital nomads.
Yeah. It was before the era of that. It was just wild. It was wild that you would invite kids
to internet
do that.
Too.
No, well, there was internet, but not Instagram, not social media. So
yeah, right.
If you were like taking pictures or something.
No emails. What year was this?
No, you just got emails. We had emails. This was when you could still hack AOL. Remember, like there was AOL and you could download. I don't know if you ever got into this, but you could download like spam attacks. So if you're arguing with someone, you could press a button and kick them off of AOL and you felt like a hacker. It was awesome.
My friends at college were a lot of more computer science majors and they just like coming up with programs for hatred.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, let's just have a program to call someone's like dorm phone nonstop.
Yeah, those guys they fucked up the world. Those guys would just like for fun, like take out the internet because they could.
Yeah, wow. But definitely no like hostile world and like places, like learn where to go and which hostels are where. Not that level of internet.
No.
Yeah.
No. It didn't really exist like that. You actually had to, you had the Lonely Planet guide. You would use that word of mouth. So this guy just got
Bill Mosier. Sounds like a hero.
He was a hero. And he got it stuck in our head that we should go to India. And so, but I didn't go on the school trip because that's what he would do is he would take a bunch of kids out there, which sounded really awesome. I wish I had done that because he would take you out to the villages. You would stay with families.
What was his connection to India?
I think he lived there for a long time.
Oh.
And he told a crazy story. Like he would, cause like the way he taught was just stories. And so one of the stories he told is like his things are different there. Like he didn't use the word reality tunnel, but you know, that's what he was saying. It's like, it's a completely different reality tunnel than in the West. So they don't, many people over there, they're not hung up about death the way we are. In the West, we are fucking hung up about that. If you see a dead body, you're going to be thinking about it for a long time. In India, especially Varanasi.
Stand By Me was an entire movie about it.
What's that?
Wasn't Stand By Me an entire movie about seeing a dead body?
Exactly. The shock of mortality. Whereas in India, not only you're going to see like dead bodies, but you also, your cosmology, you think you reincarnate. Like, and not like the way like people here, like, yeah, maybe there's reincarnate. Like, that's just a fact. Like the way there's a sky and an earth. You know what I mean? So it's not like they're really.
It's like graduating.
But it's a massive country with a very diverse religious population. Not everyone. I'm sure there's many people there are scared shitless or don't know or whatever, but a huge portion of the population has embedded in them since they were a kid that they're going to die, that they've lived many lives, and they'll live many more lives. And so once that is in the consciousness of enough people, it changes the way people behave and the way people act around death. And so death is just like here, you fucking die. Someone will come and like put you in a bag and throw your body in the back of almost like an unmarked vehicle. You know what I mean? And get your ass through the streets to a funeral when they get you burned or in the ground as quickly as possible. No one should see the body. Open casket funerals are intense for people.
They're intense. I saw Freddie's thing and it was like, what the fuck? It was just so like real. Like, damn, he's dead.
Yes. Right. And that's shocking to you. And
because I never see
it.
Yeah.
Because you don't see it. But when you see it all the time. So, So one of the stories he told, which is really weird, and I don't know what to think about it. He took this group of kids to a village, and the village accepted that in the forest outside the village, there was a ghost. And they would say to the kids, you know, there's a ghost out there. And everyone's like, all right, you know, superstitious fucking idiots, right? Because we're from the West. We know everything. Yeah. There's no fucking ghosts. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So this one of the students goes out on a walk into the forest. And a little boy comes and walks next to him.
From the village?
No, just in the forest. A little kid comes up to us, like, holds his hand out to hold his hand. He holds the kid's hand. The kid's hand is like a vice grip. And the kid looks at him and goes, and has fucking fangs. So he runs.
I thought it was going to be like Bill Cosby or something. Damn.
Wait, what do you mean? Like Bill Cosby?
He's the ghost in the woods.
That would be the best ghost. Anyway, the guy runs back and totally freaked out.
He's dead.
He's got claw marks on his hand. He's all fucked up. And the villagers are like,
there's the fuck, man?
We told you there's a ghost.
I want to be, whose special needs kid was it? Like, or maybe, I don't know. Wow.
Well,
wow.
Also, you have to think, like, if you and I lived in a village in India that was, like, throughout the year getting, like, bombarded with liberal arts students, how long before we say there's a ghost out there and we get a kid to go out there and put vampire fangs in
his... You could scare whites real easy. They're like, I'm not even that strong. Like, to a white, you're way strong.
Yeah.
You've lived a hard life.
Exactly.
To a visiting soft-handed white.
Liberal arts students. Yeah. Yeah, frail. Frail vegan hand.
They need help to pop the next thing in a pen, you know.
But I think,
frail vegan hands.
You know what I mean? He's just been eating fucking broccoli and kale.
Hi guys, Ari Shaffir here from a place Duncan Trussell never was in India, an air-conditioned car. Here to tell you about a common malady known to travelers in India known as curry dick. Yeah, you know, I'm not talking about swamp ass in which your ass sweat and the hot, humid environment mixes with your poop and creates sort of a liquid that can sometimes smell and sometimes can stain your underwear, sometimes irrevocably. No, I'm talking about curry dick. Really bad problem in which you eat so much curry that your body gets overloaded and doesn't know how to handle it. So it makes it leave, it freaks out. And it goes, how can we get rid of this curry? Well, it leaves in the form of ball sweat. It leaves in the form of ball sweat, which does smell often like a curry. Well, that should be fine if you're freeballing it. Absolutely. But you're not freeballing it, are you? No, you're sitting in your non-sheath underwear, sitting on a hot, humid bus for 10 hours, or maybe on a long hike or walking around the city with your non-sheath underwear. And your balls are stuck up against your thighs, and it creates a vacuum, an airless vacuum, and it turns that curry sweat into curry paste, and it smells like death. It smells like death incarnate. Yeah, and it reminds people in the hostels of their own mortality, and no one wants to be around that. No one wants to be around their own mortality and thoughts of their own death when they're out living their life and finding themselves in their spiritual quests. Yeah, and they go, what's that? They go, that's Duncan. Like, what's wrong with Duncan? He goes, he's got curry dick. No, Duncan's got curry dick. Like, yeah, isn't that your friend? I'm like, yeah, let's just leave and go to the next town without telling him. I can't have him around me. I can't be thinking about my immortality. And Sheath says, don't think about your immortality. Don't get curry dick. Use Sheath underwear. What it does is it has a pouch for your balls to separate them from your thighs. And it lets your balls breathe. Nothing's more important than that. It also has a hole for your dick, so your shaft goes in there, your balls go in the pouch, and it separates all. Now, you might be asking, why do I need to separate my dick? Isn't the balls enough? Yeah, well, what if you have chlamydia? What if you fuck some skank in a hostel in India, and now you have chlamydia? Well, what's the problem there? Well, the drippage from the chlamydia mixed with the curry paste for your balls, and that creates a really bad issue. A really bad issue in which the locals can smell it, and they can smell American money, and they're going to try to wedge you off to their fucking daughters. And they're going to try to wedge you off to their fucking daughters, and then you got to live in a village, you have to raise goats for your whole fucking life, raising these 12 fucking kids that you never wanted in the first place, because they're going to pressure you into fucking getting married. You raise goats, milk goats, and you're like, can we just kill this fucking goat? We don't believe in killing goats! What the fuck? Just milk them? Ugh! Yeah, and that's how you're going to live your life. And people are lost. And so my friend Robert came in and created Sheath Underwear. Yeah, and if you go to sheath.com right now, you can get 20% off your order if you use promo code Ari. Yeah, 20% off your order with promo code Ari at sheath.com and no more curry dick. Get the chlamydia drip away from your curry ball sweat and curry dick forever and get 20% off your order if you use promo code Ari at checkout at sheath.com. What more could you ask? Myself and Sheath Underwear are teaming up to end curry dick forever. What are you doing? What are you doing? Trying to tear down some statue? Trying to weigh in on world events online? No. Do something for society. Sheath Underwear is. They're trying to end curry dick. A problem you didn't even know existed. End curry dick forever at sheath.com. Use promo code Ari for 20% off your order. Now let's get back to the episode. This weekend in Washington, D.C., it's happening, everybody. My new special. I'm filming my new special April 26th and 27th at the Capitol Turnaround in Southeast Washington, D.C. It's a neighborhood that used to be terrible. They used to tell you not to even stop for traffic there. And now it's been rejuvenated by gentrification. And I'm the benefactor, and so are you, when you come out and see my new special being recorded this Friday and Saturday. Saturday is sold out. That's April 27th. But you can still get tickets for April 26th show. Come on out if you live in the Washington area, the D.C. area, or if you know anybody in Washington, D.C., Maryland, or Virginia, tell them as well. Come on out. Have a good time. Actually, only tell them if they're cool, because if they're not cool, they're 50% chance they're going to leave angry because they don't get what stand-up comedy is. But if they do get stand-up comedy, let's say they have herpes or something, and they understand what cool is, then absolutely tell them to come out. Let's fill up this room for me. Tickets are at arishafir.com right now. After that, I'm going to be in Los Angeles doing my storytelling show, May 9th and 10th. Surprise lineup for both shows. Different lineups for both shows. Get tickets for both if you want. Tickets are at arishafir.com. Part of the Netflix is a joke festival. And then right on to Australia. Melbourne, May 17th and 18th. May 18th is sold out. Adelaide, May 24th. Canberra, May 25th. Brisbane, May 31st. And Sydney, Australia, June 1st. And then I'm done. Hanging out in Sydney for another week. Going to the state of origin. And then just like, I'm just done. No touring at all. Just fun, camping. Enjoying nature. Enjoying my relaxation time. While I get ready to promote the special. Hopefully it'll be out in late September, early October. I got a couple of possible names for it, but I won't tell you until after I've taped it. And that's it. Done until 2026. Duncan Trussell is also a stand-up comic, and he's also on the road. Thankfully he is. He's one of the most, if not the most, creative comic in all of stand-up comedy. He's an outsider artist in an insider world, and he's got some shows coming up too. Las Vegas this weekend at Wise Guys Comedy Club. Get tickets at DuncanTrussell.com. And then San Francisco next weekend at Cobb's. What a great club that is. What a great city that is. It's been destroyed by tech bros moving in and abandoning it, but it's on the rebuild, and Duncan Trussell's leading the charge. Cobb's first week of May, then Milwaukee, Portland, Asheville, Raleigh, Buffalo, and Tampa. Finally, on November 1st in Boston, Massachusetts, he's playing the famed Wilbur Theater. Tickets just went on sale for that. Hurry up and get the best seats, all of them at DuncanTrussell.com. That's it. Let's get back to the episode. Don't forget to hit subscribe right now, wherever you're watching or listening. Let's get back to Duncan Trussell's crazy India stories.
But so again, I mean, I don't know. I didn't see it, but yeah. But truly, the when you go over there, and I know you've had this experience. Any non-Western culture, you feel like you're in another dimension. It's like a completely alternate.
It's the cultural like change where you're like, this isn't relatable here. It's not like, oh, you see a sign and you're like, I think that's the speed limit. You can pretty much get, you know, that means speed limit this number.
Yeah.
In kilometers instead of miles, you know, but like other stuff, you're like, oh, I don't even have any relation point to this.
Right. Yeah, well, the fonts. The fonts of the other language. You've never seen those fonts before. They're these weird, bendy, yellow fonts, and your brain is trying to turn it into English, but it can't. And so you just feel like you're in a dream world already, regardless of any kind of mystical component. And all of India is like that because it's filled with these temples and, like, you know, these people are ringing bells and burning incense and communing with the gods. And
this is way Buddhist or no?
What?
Hindu.
Hindu. Buddhist, Hindu. Well, no, there's a lot of Buddhists there too. I mean, it's this confluence of, like, all religions. They're just, that's what's cool about it, is there's so many coexisting or semi-coexisting religions. Sometimes the Muslims and the Hindus don't get along. Yeah.
That's how it was that Buddhists are real peaceful, except in Myanmar, they're like, oh, but kill the Muslims. they called this guy Nazi Buddha, because he was like a high up guy there when I was there. And he was like, definitely don't step on a fly, but these Muslims got to go.
Oh, fuck, a militant Buddhist.
Yeah, it was wild.
I've heard they're out there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So you went. So you're how old? What year did
48.
No. When you went to Varanasi.
The scary thing is I can't remember how old. I'm so old now that I had to think about it. Like, sometimes my wife is like, you're 49, dude. I can't remember. Yeah. Like, I have to do the math.
It's a sign of upper 40s.
Yeah, you just stop caring. I don't
know. Yeah, oh, that's that too.
So I must have been, this is before
college or after college?
This was the last year of college.
So you took off?
Took off. This is probably right before I came to LA.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went there, mid-20s.
Did you graduate?
Yeah.
You did. And then you went to India?
Yes.
Okay.
I went there with my friend Emil.
Oh, I love Emil.
He's the best. My friend David McLean. And
where's Emil now? I haven't heard of him in so long.
Emil's living in Chapel Hill.
He's still
making music.
Nice.
Holy Sons. It's really amazing. He's been drumming for this band, Om. It was, sort of like a, I don't want to say obnoxious, but there's no way to not, when you're like three, a post-college student and two people in college, we were getting in the most obnoxious college arguments, like fighting over free will and Nietzsche, and like getting in the kind of like passionate arguments.
Yeah.
I wish I was getting in those now where somebody knock a table over, you don't know what you're talking about, storm off. And then you're in India. It's so, it's so intense.
Dude, I took somebody they were going to grad school in Santa Barbara. They're interviewing. So I went with them.
Yeah.
And then I was just like walking, listening to undergrads having those. And I'm like, damn, it's so fucking fun.
So fun.
About world leaders, who was the worst, who was the best.
The best. And you've got your whole ego pinned on the argument.
They've never paid a tax ever.
I know, dude.
And they just know everything about the world.
Heaven. Those arguments are that now people go online to have them. But when you're having them in overtime. Oh, yeah. What are you? There is no free will.
You think Kierkegaard is.
It was those kinds of arguments that would reach this boiling point. And so, but it was fun. Like, we were having fun. We had gone up to, and I don't even know how we charted this path. I don't know what we were doing. Like, we went from, we flew into New Delhi. Like, we stayed in Sri Lanka first, then flew from Sri Lanka to New Delhi. Sri Lanka's incredible, by the way. Have you been?
No, but I want to go to Sigiriya.
I don't know that
Sigiriya. It's like a, that's it on the right. It's like their Masada.
It's
a whole village on top of this mountain. They don't even know how they got water up there. An Uber driver told me about it.
He's like, one day I'll be able to drive up there.
Yeah, Rolf Potts has been there. And then there's another, it's just this whole fucking mountaintop that you can just, I don't know how they got, anyway.
I mean, it
separate
is,
podcast,
it's
separate
a podcast, magical place, man. Magical fucking place. There's this place called Adam's Peak. And you stay at guest houses there. So it's like a dude's house. He fixes you this like incredible dinner. And it's a long hike up the side of this mountain. And you have to wake up really early to do it. And at dinner, he's like, just my dog will take you. And so, that's how we're going to get fucking lost. We walk out. His dog, wagging his tail, just starts walking ahead, leads us all the way there. Like, we're following a dog past, like, Buddha statues in the forest. And then you get to the top of this place and there's a monk who lives up there and comes and like gives you tea and it's the most insane view you ever saw. And like it was.
Can you ask him a question? One of those?
What?
One of those?
He didn't speak English.
Oh.
I wanted to ask him a question.
Fuck.
He just gave us tea with a big smile on his face. And it was pouring rain, thundering. We're cackling with laughter because it's like the most insane thing. It's like we're being led by a dog up a mountain. It was beautiful, man. And so then we flew to New Delhi.
Yeah.
I don't know why we got off the bus where we did. We got off a bus at the wrong place. Because once you're in New Delhi, you kind of start freaking out. This isn't Sri Lanka. What? It's this massively populated, hardcore Indian city where people target. If they see that you're a Westerner, they will fucking scam your ass. It's a tradition there. So like even in the bus, we're like making.
God, that's overpopulated.
We're making eye contact with some dude from the bus. And he's just looking at us with like authority, pointing to us and being like out of the bus. And then if you're dumb enough to get off the bus and go to that guy.
Come on. Give me your money, please.
But they're so good at hypnotizing.
Wow.
I
almost got robbed in Wheaton Plaza once when I was a kid. Somebody looked, he was on the phone and I like looked, I made eye contact and he goes, give me your wallet. So like older kid. And I was like, no. He goes, all right. And he went back to his phone call. He just took a shot.
Worth the try.
Yeah.
Well, the art of scamming Westerners out there is so refined that at the train station, so there's the train station you're supposed to go to. Around the perimeter of the train station, there's all these shops that say official train station of India. This is the train.
Less official train station, shady train station.
And if you Lonely Planet warns you. So,
oh really?
Yeah. So you will if you don't pay attention to that, or even maybe you've read it.
Yeah.
But it's so confusing getting into the regular train station, and these people know the Lonely Planet is trying to ruin their fucking game. They're really good at being like, I'm an authority. Come over here. Let's get your tickets. Oh, we're taking this train from here. That train is not coming today. So then you're sitting in some weird, we're sitting in an office with this group of dudes just smiling because I can't explain it. It's the most benevolent scamming. It's like you're both playing this bizarre game. They're like,
you're being polite. They know you're going to be polite.
Yeah. And they're having fun.
Right. I mean, imagine you like go to a fishing hole and you just see fish popping up everywhere and you're just like, nice. It's going to be a good day.
We snared a group of college fucking kids with backpacks.
And you're telling the wives later, like college kids, like, oh, college kids.
Good
That's
job.
Awesome, babe.
And they act like your best friend. They're like, they're commiserating with you. I know there's scams around here and I know it's hard around New Delhi, but trust me, that train is not coming, but we have a bus.
It's a holiday.
We have a bus you can rent. So they'll try to rent you a bus and then drive you up there instead of taking the train. So we managed to not get...
In terms of scams, though, it's like, but you are going to get me where I'm going. So, all right.
Well, because...
paid a little more.
And you're tired.
Right.
And they're slowly breaking... And they're fun to be around. And they're feeding you food. And your will is slowly breaking down. You're like, a bus could be fun. And then, boom, you're on a bus.
Yeah.
You know about the Birkenstock shit scam? You know about that one?
No.
So this one... the street kids will get like a, what's the thing called you squeeze like cake batter out of?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Fill that with shit.
Poop. No.
So you're just happily clomping through India with your fucking Birkenstocks and your backpack and you're all spiritual. You're there on your spiritual journey. Eat, pray, love. And they fucking see that open foot. And they walk up, squirt shit on your foot. You don't know what's happened. They're like mosquitoes. They know how to do it without you feeling it. And then they tap you on the shoulder, point to your foot, which is now covered with like malarial New Delhi street diarrhea.
This is a high level shit.
Street diarrhea, right? And you're like, there's no grass. You're not rubbing that off. And they, acting like your best friend in the world, they happen to have a towel and they're like, I will clean for you. And so,
and you want to believe so bad these people are so nice.
You don't even, if you don't know about the shit scam, that's what you think. This is an angel. This is a New Delhi
Pooing
street
a shoe scam.
Angel.
This is a well-known thing. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Genius. And so then what?
So then they wipe the shit off of your foot, clean your foot for you, and you feel like indebted to them. I mean, this is a version of the scam they did at the Grateful Dead shows where you'd be like tripping in your car and somebody would come up to the window and be like, "You're busted!" And you'd be like, "Jesus fucking Christ," because you have drugs in the car. And then they go, "For having a good time, I'm going to give you a sticker." But then you're so, you feel, you have this rush of endorphins. And then I'm like, "Can I have 10 bucks? And you're like, "Sure.
Sure, I'm not arrested right now. I feel great."
It's like that.
Me and Pete C had one of those in Thailand. So we went to the last day. We were like, our flight's not until 4 p.m. Like, let's go to the palace. And then we're looking for the way. And the guy's like, "You're here for the palace." We're like, "Yeah." I go, "It's a holiday. It's closed today." We're like, "Oh, fuck." He goes, "Yeah. You should rent a tuk-tuk driver to take around some tip." And then he's like, hey, tuk-tuk driver, come here.
It's such genius.
We found out later it was such a scam. We were so mad. But then we were like, it was $12 and we did see like 8 temples. It was, in terms of scams, it ruled.
Right. I mean, maybe scam's not the right word for it. It's a complication.
Refunneling of your resources.
Yeah, it's
a complication.
Yeah, it's a complication that like leads to more adventure. And that's the other thing. Like if you're in India, if you don't just surrender to it, if you go there real tight and freaked out, you're going to have a bad time. Right. Like you just have to accept this is what it's like. Like you are a fucking death adverse buffoon who's come out to this ancient place with some like weird sense that you're going to like get enlightened or learn. But how can you get enlightened if you're constantly trying to protect yourself from,
right?
You just have to give up and eventually let yourself get scammed here and there.
My doctor told me about his friend who went to, I think, Merida or something, and he would drive to this fishing hole all the time, and a cop would be like, pull him over. He's like, "Hey, your taillight's out." And he was like, "No, it's not." He goes, "Yeah, it wasn't working. It's $10 fine." He goes, "Okay, sure." He paid him. Next time he's like, "Hey, your taillight's," he pulled him over again. He's like, "It's not." And then every time, and eventually he just started pulling over on his own. So instead of getting pulled over, he goes, "Why make people do the work?" And I was like, "Was he mad?" He goes, "No, he eventually just saw it as a toll."
It was a toll.
It was a toll. And if it was an official toll station, he wouldn't feel bad.
Right.
This was less official, so he could have felt shitty about it. But right. It's the same $10.
He's like, "Fuck it. I'll let the boot of tyranny crush my neck and pretend it's a toll booth because I'm too much of a pussy to understand my constitutional
crooked
rights."
Crooked Mexican cop.
Oh, this is in Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He
okay.
has none. Yeah.
Yeah, so we ended up in Dharamsala, and which is where the Dalai Lama lives, part of the Yarlis Tibetan monks up there. Incredible place. And what's up?
Have you begun at this point your journey into Buddhism?
No, that's where it's really. I wish I knew nothing at all. I admit, so I got this taste of it decades before I really got into it. I so wish that I had like been more. I'd studied it more when I went there because I didn't know anything. I mean, we were like assholes. Like
Where'd you stay?
Huh. We stayed at, I can't remember the name of the guest house. Beautiful guest house overlooking the mountains. And you would see like these mountain climbers who had returned from climbing mountains, and their faces were just fucking just blackened from the sun. And you could just tell it had been an intense climb. And Buddhist monks everywhere. Met an anthropologist who was studying reincarnation and had like met one of these tulku is what they're called, reincarnated. Like it's in so many movies, and it is real, where a tulku dies, a Rinpoche dies, and then there's these signs that lead to where his reincarnation is going to happen. And they put items in front of the kid that only the Rinpoche would know, and the kid selects them and passes all these weird tests and then gets taken to a monastery and trained. It's so wild. But this dude was studying that, and he got to hang out with this 12-year-old Rinpoche. And he was like, it was like being with like a 50-year-old man. Like that was not a kid. Like it was like a grown up in a kid's body. So it's just an awesome mix. And then the fucking Israelis. You see the Israelis come up to Dharamsala.
Hold on. I'm in the middle of writing an essay, just so you know, about best travelers, worst travelers, and Israelis are on both lists.
Dude, I love the the Israelis party.
Yeah.
So
they
fucking
go hard.
Party. Like it is insane what they the Israelis, I guess the monsoons make it so they can't go to Ibiza for some sort. So they come up to Dharamsala because in Dharamsala, and in a lot of India in those days, you could go to the pharmacy and be like, "I need ketamine." and they would just give you liquid ketamine. And so Israelis were up in Dharamsala just cooking ketamine down and just doing rails of ketamine during monsoon season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because also they all went to the army and then they got out and they're like, let's live a little.
Oh my God.
Was fucking wild what we just did.
Back then I didn't know about Buddhism. I didn't know about ketamine. Two fucking sad parts of
ketamine.
The trip. Oh, dude, I thought it was, you know, back then I'm like, oh, a horse tranquilizer. These Israelis were just happily like, you can go to the pharmacy and get ketamine. And so, but this is where the Israelis got us in trouble.
Okay.
Because.
I mean, it could go so many different ways. It could be like, no, we just go to the kitchen of this guest house. We could just use their stuff. Or it could be like. Let's beat up an Arab. It could go any which way. Yeah.
These were just party Israelis, and they were having fun. And we told them that we were looking for weed. Like, Emil had somehow found, like, hash.
They love hash.
Yeah, and so he had this, like, great hash. And I, like, you know, we went to a pharmacy in India because I was, like, you know, so amazed that you could just say, Valium? Can I have Valium? And they give it to you. So we've been blasted on Valium. Like, I fell. We went to see Titanic in New Delhi.
What?
And I was on so much Valium that I fell. I fell down the steps of, like, down the steps of the movie theater. Like, down a whole thing of steps. I just kind of, like, rolled to the bottom.
Popped up, like, that's my seat right here.
So... We wanted weed. And so these fucking Israelis are like, you need to go to Varanasi. Weed is legal in Varanasi because it's the city of Shiva. Go to Varanasi and ask for a bong lassi. And again, these are people who just told us they were like, it just gotten back from the pharmacy for like a fresh batch of ketamine. And we're like, okay, that's our next stop.
Sounds like you know what they're talking about. Yeah.
We're going to Varanasi.
Wow.
So we took the train to Varanasi.
What was the train like?
Oh my God. Incredible, dude. Incredible. Like, we did not get the best ticket because we're like broke college kids. So we're in the regular train. The boundaries in India, it's just not there. Like,
yeah, <he's> a,
Emil's like, I look over, like, it's like we've been on this train forever. Emil's like stoned on hash. And he's like, there's just an Indian dude sleeping on his shoulder like they're best friends. And like Emil waves at me. He's like, I don't know. He's just it's so sweet that people will just hold your hand there. They don't, what? You know what I mean? It's just normal.
Are they on top of the train like that?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, this, I think on our train there are people on top of it.
That's got to be a cheaper ticket.
Get on the
guy. That's a discount.
That to get on top of the train?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you get that. I think you have to be born in India to go on top of the train. But yeah, they would climb on. They would, you would,
wow.
But, dude, it was insane. You know, just the.
Are people selling food on them?
Yeah.
Wow, that's nice.
People would sell food.
Just coming up and down, like yelling out their
beggars
shit.
Beggars would come and sing like religious songs and people would give them money. There was food. Like, yeah, it was a constant stream of food that you could get. And. Or you could just, at a stop, you could just grab, like, they have these, like, everything's on these wonderful, like, silver, like, trays. So you would get dal, chapatis. It was delicious. And so we take this train to Varanasi. Now we have to find a guest house to stay at. And we have to get, like, to the Ganges River, to that part of the city. So we got to the Ganges River.
Well, how do you find a guest house?
Exactly. The Lonely Planet has some address, but you realize, like, I'm in a fucking ancient city of death, and it's a maze, and it's like it's with monkeys that chase you. So the monkeys also fuck with Westerners, because like an Indian kid.
Yeah.
Will like just reach down like he's gonna grab a rock, and the monkeys scatter because they know. But the monkeys know that Westerners are afraid of fucking monkeys. So we end up in a hotel room.
The monkeys know race.
For sure.
Wow.
Everyone's fucking with Westerners, and not just people. Like the monkeys will steal. Apparently, they've learned to steal phones, and then if you give them fruit. They give you your phone back.
I love that they are honorable about it.
The monkeys?
Yeah, and they'll be like, okay, fair trade, because I know if I don't give it back, the deal's over.
Well, and I know. Yeah. Like, they know, like, some value. I saw some video where a lady gives the monkey some fruit, and I think he's like,
come on, that's not enough.
You gotta give me more for this. But they
said in Hong Kong that you don't put any plastic bags, because if that crinkle, they know that's food. Just grab it. So you might have like an old t-shirt in there, and they're like, they're going to take it to look.
Dude, it's the first rule you hear is, don't feed the fucking monkeys. Because I tried that. I had like some crackers. You know, I love monkeys. I'm like, I'm going to feed these monkeys. So I go to where there's a bunch of monkeys, pull one cracker out, throw the cracker to a monkey. And then just a monkey runs up to me and grabs the whole thing of crackers out of my hand. It's like, fuck you. We're not birds.
Imagine seeing a bunch of gang members and throwing, here's a dollar, fellas. It's like pulling out a wad. I'm like, here's $1.
And so it's
like, get him.
And those things bite you. You're done. Like, you're going to have to get tetanus shots. So in this one hotel, the first hotel we stayed at, I am standing on a balcony. I don't know where Emil and David are. And a monkey jumps up on the balcony and is just looking at me. And I'm looking at the monkey, and you realize that's a big monkey. Like, they're pretty big. And he's just looking at me. He doesn't seem like particularly dangerous, or just like an interesting kind of Jane Goodall moment. Like, here I am with a Varanasi monkey, communing with a monkey. Eat, pray, love, a truly spiritual city. Perhaps this monkey was my mom in a past life. Then another monkey, bloomp, just appears on the balcony. And they're both kind of looking at me. Then another monkey, and another monkey. It's a fucking pack of monkeys appears around me. And I start backing away. And they're kind of moving in. I don't know what they had planned. So I fucking run. I'm like, Jesus Christ, monkeys. Run down the steps.
Alfred Hitchcock's monkeys.
It was terrifying. And there, as I'm running, they're like, I like to think they were laughing, but they were chasing. Like, it was like, I run all the way, get back in the hotel room, have that moment of like, the key, I gotta get the fucking key, go in the hotel room. The monkeys are just watching me go through the door. And then I wait a little bit, I open the door, and I look out. And right as I look out, a monkey peers around the steps to see if I've come out again, because they were going to ambush me, I guess.
What?
Yes. Yes. They live with the people. Like, I saw there was a big commotion at a market. And what had happened is a baby monkey had fallen into one of the vendors. Like, I don't know. Someone had caught a baby monkey. And the mother is screaming at him, pointing at the baby, and they had to figure out a way to like get the fucking baby up to the mother, who grabs it and runs away. So it's like these two communities kind of like live together there in a weird interspecial way. But yeah, man, Varanasi is incredible. But I don't know how much more time we have.
No, we got time. What'd you do all day there?
Well, the goal was
find
this bong lossy. We want to get stoned.
Oh, right.
So
you know about what was it? Psychogeography?
No.
It's something that gets you moving through a city.
Ooh, cool.
So for Henry Rollins, it's records.
Cool.
It's finding records.
That's brilliant. Psychogeography.
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
Yeah. It might be I'm gonna find live music somewhere, and then while you're looking for it, you're like, oh, look at this, a fruit stand or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Psychogeography.
Yeah. Lossy
That's
bongs.
Cool. For bong some people, lossy. It's vapes.
Yeah.
You got to go get your a vape in. So
yeah.
This. So yeah. I. So we are looking for this a guest house. Somehow we heard they have bong lossies. And this is where it gets...
That's bong lossy?
It's just yogurt with fucking
weed in it. Oh, right. Happy shake.
So we...
The ancient euphoric drink.
We find this guest house. Guest house are competitive. So on the way to this one guest house, someone steps out of another guest house and goes, if you go to that guest house, they will cut your head off.
What a fucking negative Yelp. What a fucking bad Yelp.
One star. They cut my brother's head off. So, but he said it with like such passion. And like it had happened. It felt like a, you know, in the beginning of a horror movie, the warning like, don't go there. So we get to this guest house. We say, we would like a bong lassi. We heard about this in Dharamsala. And in those days, I'd never met Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
So, you know that look Joey Diaz gives you when he's about to OD you on weed?
Uh-huh.
You know that look? It's like a weird little sparkle in their eyes. And they're like, yeah, we do bong lassis. And so we sit down at this table. They bring out these delicious yogurt drinks. We're drinking them. I just remember looking back at the guy and he's looking at his friend with this weird smile on his face. We drink the bong lassis. And again, this is before weed is decriminalized. We knew very little about eating weed, about the onset, about asking how much you're eating. So we drink it. Both of us are just assuming like, well, this fucking Israelis. They led us astray. This is weak shit. Nothing's happening. Why don't we go take a boat out on the Ganges River? So we get down to the Ganges River, get a boat, and they row you out there so you could see the city from the Ganges River.
Cool.
Right as we get out there into the Ganges River, that's when the fucking bong lassi starts kicking in. I realize, what the fuck have we done? We are in
stuck.
A boat.
You can't leave.
You're looking at this ancient city, plumes of smoke rising up. You see the fires from cremated bodies.
Fires.
You know, sadhus in the up to their waist in the river with candles and ding, 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 and bells. And like, we're both so high and so freaking the fuck out. Emo leans in to me and he goes, the oarsman is using telepathy to put thoughts in our mind. And like, you know what I mean? Like, he meant it.
And once he tells you that, you're like, I've got to consider that is possible.
Dude, you're like, holy shit, man. Damn, that's what I was trying to say.
I love that fucking telepathy that you actually have. We're like, I know.
Dude, it was the most intense weed trip I've ever had in my life. I mean, I started thinking that a UFO was going to appear out of the sky. I started thinking, like, I feel like a UFO is coming. And you know what I mean? It was so, so beautiful. And we made it, you know, as we started coming down.
I wonder what this oarsman was thinking.
Assholes.
Like, these guys are getting weird.
Fucking stone dicks. Yeah. I bet they don't tip. Fuck them. I'm tired. I don't want to row these people anymore. But again, like, the Ganges River, it's like, you are seeing dead bodies floating down the river in front of you. You are seeing cows.
And people go in it?
They bathe in it.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem smart.
Well, this is like from our perspective.
Yeah.
That makes
dead,
a lot of...
What do we need dead bodies floating down it?
I'm sure you can find plenty of pictures of like dead cows floating down the Ganges River. I mean, you see like,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm just thinking about the East River is pretty bad.
Well, and on the other side, the opposite shore of the Ganges, this is where all these like hardcore Shaivites live. Yeah, there you go. You know, literally, like the birds use them as boats.
Oh, really?
Like a floating buffet. They'll just ride the bodies and like casually eat them while they float down the river.
Wow.
And it's a completely different vibe there. And on the other side of the river, there's all these Shaivites, these hardcore worshippers.
Who's Shiva?
Well, Shiva is in the Hindu trinity, is the god of destruction. So Shiva represents oblivion, whereas here we invent like the devil. This is the reason there's evil. In their cosmology, it's like nothing's really evil. It's all part of this pattern. Like without death, obviously, you don't get life. There's no food. There's nothing grows from the ground. You have overpopulation. And life itself would become absolutely meaningless minus death. So death and life are interdependent. And so Shiva represents annihilation. But not in a dark way, in a sense of like a beautiful aspect.
Breaking down,
of the
like the maggots break down stuff, makes it into soil, which exactly. allows life. Isn't also Shiva the prize for in the show The League for winning the.
What?
I think Shiva. Yeah,
you Ren win is, Shiva!
In Ren's Easy Show. Yeah, I think it was Shiva. I think. I'm. A,
yeah.
Is that. Yeah. Yep. The Shiva's the name of the trophy. The word is a fantasy football league. I'm sure fucking India loves the taking of that for that.
One of the mythologies around Varanasi is that Shiva,
the god of destruction,
the god of destruction, got in a fight with Brahma, the god of creation, and chopped off one of his heads. You know, the Hindu gods have lots of arms, lots of heads.
Yeah.
And then just started carrying his head around as a kind of trophy. And so like
Kathy Griffin with Donald Trump.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dropped his head
in
Benares and it like sank beneath the ground. And so that's why that's another of the like mythologies about the city. But the point is, it's like there's a lot of Shaivites there. That's why weed is legal there, because the Shaivites, weed is a sacrament to them. Like they smoke weed because Shiva like weed. Ganja.
And so they made, so then the government's like, yeah, this can't be illegal. It's part
part of their religion.
That's a cool like etymology of that law.
Dude, it's the best. We got invited into, we're just walking down the street or by the river, and there's like Shiva temples there, like right by the river, little Shiva temple. Like, and so these Shaivites like invite us into the temple. They're smoking a chillum. They're sharing it with us and singing these like Hindu bhajans is what they're called. And you are stoned. And you feel like you know this song. You're supposed to be here. They're so welcoming. They've got dreadlocks and they like, but they're so welcoming. They worship the god of death, but they just are so sweet. And I knocked a fucking picture of Shiva off the wall. As it's like the worst, dude. I felt so bad.
Is this guy big in your world? Like, yeah, he's yeah. That's really not great.
But they're very sweet, very sweet. Highly recommend going there.
Did you get diarrhea?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, baby.
No way around it.
I mean, this was our last stop, and somehow I'd managed to not get diarrhea through the whole trip. We're eating at some, I don't know, restaurant there, and they always misspell like items on the menus. And so like there was something called banana filters. They meant fritters, but it's banana filters. I'm being a little sarcastic dick and I'm like, let's get the banana filters. So I eat these fucking things and like for a month. I was just pissing out my asshole.
Damn.
You know, like so fucking sick. So sick. And that sickness started kicking in the next day. And that is when I walked to the Manakarnika Ghat. And I'm out feeling weird, just starting to get sick. I passed this guy whose job is selling wood for the ghats. And I think he could tell that Varanasi had like beating me up a little bit. Yeah. And I deserved it. But he sees me, he goes, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm okay. How are you? And he's like, I'm wonderful because I live in Varanasi and this is heaven. And he meant it. Wow. You know? And then I go to this ghat. They have a platform where you can look down on the cremation. I'm watching a man get cremated. He's on fire. I'm watching his face kind of disintegrate. There's a little Indian boy standing next to me working on his English. And so he's trying to get me to help him with his English. And so while I'm watching this old man's body melt, this little boy is going, 10, 9, 8, 1, 3, 2, you know what I mean? It was such a trip. And yeah, and then like I think that was probably like the next to last day there, and then we just went back to the US, as I recall.
How long were you there for total?
Almost a month in
wow,
India.
Wow, good trip.
You got to do a month in India. Like, going there for like a week is idiotic because the flight takes forever. It's such a massive place. There's so many different, like if you go up north, you're up in the mountains. If you go south, you know, it's beautiful. There's like beaches and like it's just incredible. The whole fucking continent is just insane. And the people there are so fascinating and so sweet. And especially if you're like not like being a fucking dick, you know, which they can sense. But there are some temples there where Westerners aren't even allowed in. You can't go in.
Because like we're not dealing with you.
Well, and we don't know how to do it. They have strict rules in those things. And, yeah. You know, but I highly recommend the trip. I mean, I've heard it's a different place. It obviously is. I went there 20 years ago. But I would definitely, for you in particular, Ari.
Yeah.
You
it's never called me. Well, of all the places, I get why I'd want to go there. You've been there twice, huh?
Yeah, I've been there once for a month and once for about a week.
What?
Yeah, I was in Varanasi and Dharamsala and New Delhi.
Wow.
Did pretty much everything you said you did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you you obviously liked it. You kept going back.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. It was so different and so kind of overwhelming that I just felt like I had to go back.
Overwhelming, yeah.
It's
it was
overwhelming.
Very overwhelming. And with the cremations, I don't know if you saw this, but they would like crack their skulls open as they were being burnt.
Didn't see the skull crack.
What do you mean? The people would do that or the fire would do that?
The people would do that because they said it would release their souls into heaven.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, someone forgot to crack this guy's skull. It sucks. This is like, where's the fucking skull cracker?
What were the bathrooms? How would you shit? Crouch or fucking regular or what?
The bathrooms in India?
Yeah.
They are spectacular.
Really?
A lot of people don't, right? Am I wrong? The bathrooms in India are private.
Oh, this
they
is
all
a shock.
They all have bidets and they are like, usually there's a nice floral arrangement. In the bathrooms, bathroom attendants, in every bathroom, no matter where you go.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yes!
Okay.
I was going to say, I don't remember this at all.
Okay.
You know, because you got to understand, like, we use toilet paper to wipe our ass,
yeah,
obviously.
Uh-huh.
They're like, really? You're going to use fucking paper to like wipe shit off of your body? Like you would never, you know, they will have like a bucket with some kind of cloth right there where you can use water to actually clean your ass with your hand.
Yeah.
And then you go and wash your fucking hands. Now you...
It's got to take some getting used to.
Dude, again, in Dharamsala, met this... Indian guy at a church. I was just looking at the graveyard and, you know, again, obnoxious. I look back at my, so obnoxious. I'm like, what is that with you guys? Like wiping with your hand. And he goes, if I took shit and put it on your cheek right now, would you wipe it off with a Kleenex?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right? Like it's very logical.
Caparillo explained that to me about wet wipes.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, just, he goes, let me show you something. And he's like, we were at my apartment on Sunset and he put a little Coca-Cola and just spilled it out. He goes, let's wait a minute here. And then he's like, all right, wipe it off. And then I did. And he goes, touch the spot. And it's like sticky. I'm like, transfer Coke to shit. And that's what you're leaving on your butt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm done. You're right.
Wipe that's it. The truth. Except now the wet wipe fucking apocalypse is upon us. You know, because like the wet wipes.
Clogging up all the systems.
There's huge. Giant like wet wipe masses in the sewers now, like massive fucking like infinite assholes. Like
I heard the wet wipes, they glom together because they have the sore gravity and they've been starting to become sentient.
That is, and truly, no, I know a lot of people are going to hear this and think it's bullshit. Look it up. Look at this study Professor William Dystrup did at Stanford on this, because people were reporting that these things seem to be moving or there seemed to be some kind of intelligence there. And yeah, as it turns out.
Oh, he died.
Huh. Well, no. Did he die?
What's the study?
What?
What's the study?
it's like measuring intelligence and wet wipe coalescence in the sewers of the UK. No, it's wild. You know, it's wild. I've never seen one, but they say they kind of undulate down there. And they seem to be, this is what happens. I mean, this is what happens. Single cell organisms become multicellular organisms. And apparently the wet wipes are waking up.
This, I have never before wanted to go to India. This has made me want to go.
You got to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're ready. You're a seasoned traveler. You will fucking love it. I don't even think it'll overwhelm you, man. I think you'll just enjoy it.
The big city sometimes is like, Jesus, it's so overrun. Like the Yangons and New Delhi, the poverty and the height of everything sometimes gets like, what the fuck?
But you need to go up to Bhutan. You have to get permission to go there. And that is a place I've always wanted to go.
You have to get permission to go to Bhutan?
Yes, you do.
There was that train there to escape the fucking zombies, right?
That's Busan.
That's Busan. Yeah. I recommended that movie to people because I thought it was awesome. And then they were watching, like, this is laughably bad. And I'm like, damn it.
I hate it.
The first time
happens.
I saw it was pretty fucking good.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. I thought it was great. Yeah. Who fucking told you laughably
it's
bad?
It's like people on their phones in the first 5 minutes. I'm like, you'll never appreciate this. I was in Train Spotting with my buddy in the movie theater, and he was like fidgeting, and I was loving it so much. And he goes, do you want to go? And I'm like, let's get out of here. Because I'm like, I'm going to go back and fucking enjoy this. Let's not fuck with this.
God
with you
damn
here.
It. Train Spotting's an intense movie, though. He's probably just getting freaked out.
Baby crawling the ceiling, torturing the guy. What would you tell somebody if they are going to India or I guess these places like where like you should bring this with you or don't do this?
Well.
You know, like what to prepare.
Yeah,
what to like avoid.
So there's this, I don't know if they're still doing it, but there's this malaria drug that some people will recommend you take called Larium.
Okay, there's now, two drugs to take for malaria.
Right, and don't fucking take Larium. Look at, like my friend wrote up.
Is that the amnesia one?
Yeah, that my friend David, when he went back to India, was on Larium and had complete amnesia in a train station because of that shit.
Doesn't know who he is?
He was like he had to get hospitalized for like a month. He's got a great book called The Answer to the Riddle Is Me, which is like the story of what happened to him out there. But
what's his name?
David McLean.
Oh, we got to get him on this podcast.
Oh, dude, for sure. He's brilliant. And his book is really good.
Didn't he also stop the Die Hard terrorist attack?
Yeah.
Wow.
With amnesia.
Oh my God.
Because that was
what he didn't know he wasn't a cop.
Well, someone told him, you're a hero. You got to stop this shit.
Oh, wow.
And he just did it. Killed 30 men.
Damn. So he had well trained terrorists.
Yeah.
German expat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. The film, I was hearing about him. The stuff I took from malaria, it was just like the dreams were wild.
Oh, my Larium dreams. This is, so I had a dream. I still think about this dream. I'm on a pirate ship. A skeleton pirate comes up to me with a hook hand, disembowels me. Oh. I see my intestines on the hook, but I could feel it. Like I felt my guts getting ripped out and woke up completely freaked out. Told some Australian, like, dude, I had this dream. I got disemboweled by a skeleton pirate. And he's like, you stop taking that Larium, mate. Are you on Larium? He knew right away. It was a fucking Larium dream. And he's like, that'll drive you nuts. People go insane. Sorry for my bad Australian accent.
That's pretty good. I thought I was lost. I thought you were for a second. Yeah.
People go fucking crazy on that shit. And it's somehow still legal. So don't, there's other
the
alternatives than Larium. And maybe they don't
there's
prescribe
another
anymore.
One. There's another one.
And I don't know what that
also
is.
Also wild chains, but less amnesia.
Yeah, don't take the Larium.
Malarone, I think.
What?
Malarone?
Malarone, yeah, that's what I took, Malarone, yeah. Damn, this was awesome, bro.
Thanks for having me, man.
What's your special going to get called? Do you know yet? I still got to watch and give you advice on it, which I'll do this week.
I'm,
give a title?
Right now, I'm like sort of, I've got two possible ideas, but right now I'm thinking of calling it When I Had Hair.
Because he taped it when you had hair. Yeah. I'll do a fucking intro for when it's out.
Thanks.
Damn, this really makes me want to go to India.
You gotta
now,
go.
I can almost like smell it. I can almost like feel the humidity on me.
Yeah.
From like hearing this shit.
Yeah, man. You would just have a blast. It wouldn't faze you like it did us. You would like be able to really enjoy it.
I'm a bit scared of the gang. I kind of have to go solo.
I don't think you're in the demographic that's getting out there.
I mean, I wouldn't go with anybody is what I mean.
Oh, yeah. No, go by yourself.
Just some bros, maybe.
Yeah. I've heard really, like, I don't know that stuff people are hearing is necessarily exaggerated. I mean, you can find accounts of women who went out there and said it was fucking fine. And you can also find videos of, like, just the creepy hard crowds of dudes surrounding women and staring at them.
So, yeah, it's like, I don't know how safe it is, but once I've let a story of that into my head, I'm like, I'll never feel safe with a chick out there.
I wouldn't recommend it.
It might be like, it happens once every billion people, and it's like, it doesn't matter.
I don't know, it's chaos. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. It could be great, it might not be, but you don't want to be...
Yeah.
You don't want to be worrying about
also,
that.
Also, what a great excuse to leave your chick at home. Like, sorry. It's got to be the bros on this one.
I mean, if you want to come, you can come.
Hey, babe, I'm looking this up. It's up to you, but...
Yeah, check out this article.
Here's a video of this one. It's...
Oh, this doesn't look fun for you.
We can do it, though.
We can do it.
It's an authentic experience.
I don't know if I can fight off a mob of dudes, though.
One or two. One. They're Indian. I'm bigger than them, but...
No, I think if you have the guts...
Yeah.
Solo... fucking trip to India. You will definitely meet people along the way, you know, and that you'll make friends with and hang out with for a little bit. But just going like completely solo would be real fun.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Before I go, I should ask people if they have any travel tips, just in general travel tips. Doesn't have to be something you'll die on, but like...
It's so boring. This is a boring travel tip.
Okay.
Keep your hotel super clean. Like,
wow, had not had that. Hold on, Chiron.
Yeah. Clean your file. Like, unpack your bags, put them in the drawers, hang up your clothes, and organize everything.
Dude, I was at a bar and I had there's a water bed on there, and we're sitting on it. It's fun, and there's like a ledge about that thick, and I had my beer on there. Some guy's like, "Hey, man, would you mind taking that beer off that ledge and put it on the table?" And I was like, why? He goes, my friend's highly autistic and he's freaking the fuck out because it's near a corner. And then you just see this guy like this. And I was like, and I just move it like that. And the guy's like, and I was like, all right, sure.
What did you just say?
Why did you?
You see, I don't really remember things.
What? So, hey, I heard you unpack and like, organize everything. What's the reason for that? Just so you can feel like settled in?
Well, it's a lot of different reasons, but, if you're traveling a lot and you are leaving your hotel room like most, like I used to do, in like a chaotic, like shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Just experiment with like putting everything away, hanging everything up, keeping everything clean, not counting on the maids coming to clean your room. And you just feel more peaceful in there. Like I think something about shit scattered everywhere in a new place fucks with your brain a little bit.
What is that thing where you're supposed to organize stuff by cutting off corners and like that theory of like, you know what I'm talking about?
Cutting off corners.
Yeah, like you put a table like this way so it makes the room more circular. Or like, you know what I'm talking about?
Did the guy at the bar tell you this after he calmed down?
That's a real thing.
I want to tell you about my circular hotel room theory. Everything in a circle. No corners. Nothing on a corner.
Shit like that. You don't know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the circular theory. What?
Nobody knows what I'm talking
about.
Dude,
we all know what you're talking about. They're just we all know.
It's like putting your bed in a certain place and like...
circularize your bed.
I'm the autistic one.
No, and this is the final thing. Yeah. They're not as hard to find, especially in Austin, as you think. A fucking bat wing. Like, take a bat wing.
Oh.
And you put it in a sock.
Yeah.
And put that in the corner of your bed. And then once you circularize the bed... put the bat wing in
it's
the
like
center.
A zen thing of fucking building your room or where you live.
You know, if you go to a hotel and
you're
request-
all leaving me hanging. It's when you're organizing your house, when you're building it.
Yeah,
fuck all you. You know what I'm talking about.
Pie. It's pie. It's a beauty. It's pie. 3.184. It's like just a, no, I'm telling you. And if you go to a hotel,
feng shui. Thank you, feng shui.
Feng shui.
Yeah, whatever.
It's
I don't
like
know.
A wrestler. A great comic. Yeah, but bat wing, no larium, and circularize your
you
room.
We're ending this podcast, and I do not like the way it ends. You told me once in a joke that Jesus came to America carrying a giant bat, and that was the Mormons believe.
Yeah.
And I carried that with me for a decade and mansplained some Mormons about how the religion started. And they're like, that's not true. I'm like, you got to look it up. It's a deep cut, but I'm telling you it's true. And they're like, where did you find this out? I'm like, my friend, fucking shit.
It's a
10-year fucking prank that was pulled off perfectly. I mean, I'm in the fucking Mormon church going, you guys don't know. Show me the rooms. I'll show you the details.
Mansplaining the Mormons about their religion.
Duncan, buddy, thank you very much. He has his podcast called Duncan Trussell Family Hour. That's amazing.
Right.
I've been on a couple times, but start with the fucking smarter people than me on there. And then go back and watch
Midnight Gospel. And there's a show on Fox called Crapopolis that I'm on right now.
Midnight Gospel. I heard you said don't do drugs to watch it. But I disagree. I say at least be blasted on weed.
Well, that's just this is my own personal, like anytime I take a psychedelic and then absorb a psychedelic thing, I feel like
it's
like when I take psychedelics, you know, I like to fucking go outside, take my clothes off, put on my wife's underwear, dance.
I'm the same way.
Go into the neighbor's house if they're not there, creep around.
Get feral.
Pretend to be a little carpet worm. That's how you should spend your time tripping.
Guys, thank you for tuning in. Every week, a new fucking place we go. Leave comments about your places that you've been to in India. Subscribe at UB Trippin' Pod. Tell me anybody like Duncan, just David McLean. Anybody like that, send our way, or you be Trippin' Pod on Instagram or whatever. Get off Twitter. I'm sure we have an account.
Dude, I gotta tell you about Robert Ryan, my friend. He's a tattoo artist, and holy shit, he travels all over.
Really?
Oh my God.
I'm in. I want everybody.
Okay, great.
Yeah, okay. Robert Ryan. Okay, bye guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Well, that's the episode, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. God, that was so good, Duncan. That was so good. That's exactly what this podcast is supposed to be. That exact thing. I mean, it makes me want to go there for sure. I never really had it in me before. India never called to me. And now it does. It's interesting how some of these countries call to you and some don't. It depends on who the person is, whether they'll call to you or not. Don't forget, my new special is being recorded this Friday and Saturday in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol Turnaround. Get tickets at arishafir.com. 27th is sold out. 26 still tickets available. Tell a friend who lives in Washington area, Maryland, Virginia. Tell them, if they're cool, like I say, to come on down and be part of the funeral, a rebirth, because it will live on. Just like Duncan said with these people, this material will live on after death. Will live on in video form, on a streaming service of some kind, or maybe a mailer. Maybe I'll mail it out door to door, like the old, like Netflix used to be. CD-ROMs. Delivered door to door. I'm definitely not going to do that, but it is an interesting idea. Also, don't forget Australia tour, Melbourne, Canberra, Adelaide, Sydney, Brisbane. Duncan Trussell, get tickets for his show at the Boston, at the Wilbur. And subscribe right now, everybody. Wherever you're listening or watching this podcast, subscribe. Leave a comment on YouTube. Subscribe at UB Trippin' Pod. It's not on the Your Mom's House Network. I mean, it's produced by them, edited by them, but it's on its own YouTube account. UB Trippin' Pod. Head over there right now, subscribe, because some of these pictures, some of the stuff we looked up, it really adds something. It's one of those where I would say the video really does make a difference over the audio itself. Audio's still going to be great, but there's just a bonus feature for the videos. And that's it. UB Trippin' Pod on socials. Thank you very much, Duncan Trussell. Today's episode was produced by Your Mom's House Network, YMH Network. A man who thinks Indian people smell. Run by that. Tim Sigdudu. Edited expertly by Chris Larson. Possibly Alan Caffey, but I think this one was Chris Larson. I think this is the last one by Chris Larson. And then that's it. Oh, next week, another wild one. Colm Tyrrell. I just found out how to say his name. Comes on to talk about Bangkok, Thailand. What an interesting place. Yeah, he went there as a gap year kid from Ireland and did it the degenerate piece of S way. But he got into fun stuff. Old Kali Cocktails coming on to tell us about his trip to Thailand. Wild times at UB Trippin'.
Tune in every week and tell a friend. I'm stoked on this podcast. I'm loving it. How are you guys? Leave a comment for the algorithm, click a like, and send it to a friend. Anyone who likes to travel, say, I got a new podcast for you. Help me spread the word. We're up at over 40,000 subscribers already. That's great. Let's get over 50,000 after this week before Column comes out. Columns will be out. Oh, no, wait. Damn, we already did Columns. Oh, damn. Wait, Columns was last week. Duncan Trussell's is next week. Damn it. No, sorry. I just did that one. Luis Gomez is next week. I'm so disorganized. Columns was good. Luis Gomez is next week. Talking about Jamaica. He's going to take on the heavy task of convincing me that an all-inclusive resort and getting a villa is travel, is worth it. And he did a pretty good job of stating his case, I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's for everywhere. I don't think it's for everybody, but Luis Gomez seems to enjoy it. Tune in next week for Luis Gomez talking about Jamaica. I'm on. I can't do accents. Until next week, goodbye.